Welcome to the Fan Podcast. I am Mo Horton. How is everybody doing? Glad to bring y'all a podcast, man. It's been a long time. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, rate and review us. Also listen in on Spotify, Slacker Radio, Google Podcasts, or anywhere where major podcasts are downloaded. Man, there's so much to talk about, so much going on in sports. I'm just glad, man, that everybody is here. Everybody who listens, shout out to everybody who's been asking about me, asking when I'm going to drop another podcast, the loyal listeners. I appreciate everybody, man, who always supports me, always listen to what I put out. Today, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, man. Slate of NFL games on Sunday. Talk about everything pertaining to that. Looking forward to week 16. Also, we're going to talk about the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Saints. Which one going to make the most noise in the playoffs? Is this a downfall for the Patriots? And also, I finally give my take on the college football playoff and see who I got winning, who I got as the favorite, and should we do this expansion to 8 games thing? I don't know. We'll see. But keep listening on this episode of the Fan Podcast. This past week, there was a slate of NFL games, a lot of great games on site. Started off on Thursday night with the Chiefs versus Chargers. Had a couple of good games on Saturday. We had the Broncos versus the Browns, had the Texans versus the Jets, and then a great slate of NFL games on Sunday. Closed out with the Panthers and Saints last night. My take on the NFL season is this is the time of year that it's a great time to watch football. You finally get an opportunity to see who are the best teams. You finally can realize what separates one team from another, what teams have what flaws, what teams have the advantages going into the playoffs, what teams are on the downswing going into the playoffs, and can you have any surprises? Because anybody can win it. The playoffs are so random that anybody can do something. See 2010 season when the 6-seeded Packers, 10-6, went all the way to the Super Bowl and beat the Steelers. Or, you know, see 2007 Giants team who got in at 9-7, barely got into the playoffs and, you know, ran the table and won the Super Bowl. So anything can happen. It's a great opportunity and a great time to be alive as far as being an NFL football fan. One of the games that was very, very interesting yesterday, or Sunday rather, was the Dallas Cowboys versus the Indianapolis Colts. The reason why that game was very, very intriguing because the Colts have been on fire. Won 6 straight games, started off basically for dead out there in the AFC South. And people was wondering, you know, after a 1-5 start, what is Andrew Luck has left? Is he healthy? Is he going to be the guy that people talked about? And he's been absolutely on fire in the past few weeks. That defense is playing very, very well. They have an offensive line now that can actually protect him. The draft pick of Quentin Nelson was very, very tremendous and very, very good on the GM for the foresight for that team because he's been a monster since coming on this team. And they've needed him, and he's solidified that run game, and he's been pretty, pretty solid in pass protection as well. The Dallas Cowboys came in equally as hot, winners of 5 straight games going into this game, leading the NFC East. All they had to do was win this game, and they clinched the division. So they had a lot to play for also. You know, Zeke Elliott has been on a tear lately. Amari Cooper has had a couple great games, justifying Jerry Jones trading for him for a first-round pick. But a lot of people laughed at Jerry when he made that pick and everything and that trade. And Amari Cooper has been, you know, everything that, you know, the Cowboys have been looking for. But this game happened, and it was a 23-0 shutout. The Cowboys lost 23-0, their first time getting shut out in any game since 2003. The last time that happened, well, you know, I was in high school, and Quincy Carter was their quarterback. So that's a long time ago. But I took a lot of stuff from this game. A lot of things from this game is from the Cowboys. Dak Prescott's accuracy isn't so well. He had a couple throws in that game where he could have easily converted on a lot of third downs, converted on a lot of fourth downs, but a lot of inaccurate passes, balls all over the place. Took a lot of time for him to settle in. They drove the ball pretty well. They had 4 drives in that game in the first half that were in the double digits. One drive that was 10 plays, one drive 11 plays, one drive 13 plays, one drive 14 plays. And neither drive capitalized on points. They had the blocked field goal first drive of the game. Then they had the fourth down stop on the, you know, just outside the goal line. Also in the first quarter, leaving a lot of points on the field. And it goes without saying is, did the Cowboys just get, you know, full-hearted, that they just get cocky and decide that, hey, you know, we got this in the bag. We can go out next week and play Tampa Bay and, you know, and win the division, or whoever we play, we can just show up. Or did the coaches legitimately beat them? I think it's a little bit of both. I think the Cowboys did come into that game with a little cockiness, a little arrogance, feeling a little too good about themselves because they've just ripped off five straight. You know, they beat the team that's number one in the NFC right now, which is the New Orleans Saints, and they beat them, you know, pretty handily as far as keeping the offense from doing anything. So they had a lot of confidence, but this, at the same time, you know, defense does win championships, but offense wins rings. And that's how it is in today's game. It's not like it was anymore where you have a great defense and you'll win a Super Bowl. You can't just have that anymore. You have to have an offense that's capable of scoring points. Take the Super Bowl champions last year. They had the best run defense in the NFL. They had the best defense as far as giving up points. But Tom Brady put 500 yards on them boys and carved them up in the Super Bowl. But they was able to win because they had an offense who also put up 40 points. So you have to have a little bit of both. And the Cowboys, they have a really, really good defense. I mean, they're very, very good. Third in the league as far as giving up points, and second in the league as far as run defense. And they have a sack artist in Lawrence who can get to the quarterback, and also Gregory who can also get to the quarterback. But at the same time, the offense looks pedestrian most of the time. It's a lot of feeding it to Zeke. And if Zeke gets tired, or Zeke, you know, they can figure out a way to stop Zeke in the game, they don't have a whole lot of options. Amari Cooper does open up things on the outside where you don't have to focus on Zeke as much. But if you can get heat on Dak Prescott and get his feet happy, he'll throw you a few. He'll throw you a few balls, or, you know, he'll take a sack when he doesn't need to. So, you know, a lot of stuff came out of the game, but also the coach just imposed their will on the Cowboys. They had a good pass rush all of the first half, and they also got to him and they disrupted a lot of plays. So Andrew Luck looked like the Andrew Luck of old. He looked very, very good, very poised in the pocket, very decisive in his pass and in playmaking. So it's a lot of things that you can take away from that game. And it opens up a bigger picture as to how the NFC and AFC will look, because even though the Colts won that game, there's still a game outside of the playoff race. And the Cowboys, they have Tampa Bay left on the schedule, also have the New York Giants left on the schedule. And they can wrap up the NFC East with just a win either of those games. But what if, you know, the Cowboys lose to Tampa Bay? What if they lose to the Giants? And then the Philadelphia Eagles, who had a big win Sunday night against the Rams, win both of their games left. They got the Texans and they have the Redskins left on their schedule. The Cowboys could have a major collapse where they might drop to the sixth seed, or, you know, more or less even drop out of the playoffs. So they have a lot to play for this week coming into week 16. So it opened up a broader look into the NFL and see which teams, you know, are good and which teams are bad. Take into account consideration another game that happened Sunday night. So a Sunday afternoon on CBS, the Patriots played the Pittsburgh Steelers. And basically Pittsburgh was left for dead. Lost two games straight to the Chargers, to the Raiders, in a game they shouldn't have no business losing. I think they should have put Ben Roethlisberger in that game a little bit sooner than what they did. Came down to a field goal where they missed. Had a 17-point lead, a big lead versus the Chargers, and they lost that game also. So people pretty much wrote the Steelers off in this game. They've lost to the Patriots 10 consecutive times. Basically in this same spot last year when they played the Patriots, but they were able to pull the game out. And you could take a lot away from this game also. I take more away from the Patriots than I did the Steelers, because the Patriots look old. Like, they look absolutely old. Like, we've been waiting for this, you know, moment where we can say, hey, the Patriots are done, but everybody's afraid to, because every time you say they're done, they win the Super Bowl or they go to the Super Bowl. But it really looks like they're done. Like, it really does look like. It looks like Grunt looks like the Tin Man out there. Like, he needs a shot of oil, some WD-40 or something to keep him moving. Like, he runs around like he has a piano on his back. Like, he's very, very slow coming out of his breaks. He's not getting any separation. Tom Brady gets a little happy feet, and it's not good for Tom Brady to have an old guy in the cold, you know, because even though he's spectacular, they're running an offense now that isn't similar to the offense they've been running in years past, because usually the Patriots run more of a spread concept offense, but now they're trying to incorporate some type of an older school offense, because they have a bigger offensive line this year. They have Sonny Michel at running back, who can catch out of the backfield. I don't understand why they don't utilize him more as a receiver out of the backfield. He did a lot of that in the University of Georgia. But, you know, they also got James White, who's also as capable, as we saw in Super Bowl 51, that he's definitely capable of catching the ball out of the backfield. They're running more of an I formation, a lot of double tight end sets, a lot of power stuff this year instead of a lot of the up-tempo spread concepts that they ran in the past. And Tom Brady just doesn't operate that well in that offense anymore. So that's another reason why they look bad in there, and he had happy feet. And then Josh Gordon isn't being utilized like he should. He set, you know, on that last drive of the game where the Patriots had an opportunity to tie the football game, and Tom Brady threw an interception. So they look very, very bad in that game. Their defense can't stop anybody. They can't stop a nosebleed right now. They've given up a lot of rushing yards, next to last in the league as far as giving up rushing yards. They're looking bad right now, especially at the linebacker position. So the last three games they've lost. They lost against especially the last two games against the Steelers here and against the Dolphins. They've given up a lot of running yards, a lot of rushing yards. So is that the secret to beating the Patriots? Because right now they're tracking to be, you know, 11-5, because I got them beating the Jets and the Bills. It's going to be tough games, obviously, but I got them beating both of those teams. But this will be the first time in 8 consecutive years that the Patriots haven't hosted a playoff game at home after a first-round bye. They've done an 8 straight year since 2010. The last time they did it, they had a first-round exit to the Baltimore Ravens. So it'll be, you know, something different. It'll be something weird, you know, that team who usually get that home field, because they can't win any road games. They're 3-6 on the road with Tom Brady at the quarterback position, 0-3 since 2006. So they're not a very good team as far as winning road playoff games. They're going to have to win 2 games on the road to get to the Super Bowl. That's just how it is. They'll get that first wild card game at home, and then if they win it against whoever the 6th seed is, you know, and it's teams that can beat them. You know, the Ravens can beat the Patriots. They have a great defense, and they can run the football. The Dolphins, we've seen them beat the Patriots, and they can run the football. And the Colts can beat the Patriots. They can run the football with Marlon Mack. So those teams can beat the Patriots, but if the Patriots do win that game, they got to go, you know, to Arrowhead or, you know, to Houston, you know, in order to get to the Super Bowl. So those are going to be very, very difficult games to win. So the Patriots might be very, very much in trouble, because they haven't proven over this dynamic stretch of a dynasty that they have had over the last 18 years they can win playoff games on the road. So it begs the question of, you know, can they get it done for the rest of the season? And the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, were basically left for dead. You know, like I said before, Tomlin's job security, you know, it was questioned a lot. We thought that if they lost this game, it's pretty much over for the Steelers, because they got the Saints coming up next week. And so we're like, they lose to the Patriots and the Saints, Tomlin's definitely going to get fired. You know, an organization who's known for their stability. They've only had 3 coaches in the last 30 years. You know, Chuck Noll, Mike Tomlin, Bill Cowher. You know, they've only had 3 coaches. So their stability is, you know, out of this world. The last 40 years, I'm sorry. I mean, their stability is out of this world. And, you know, to think that a coach might get fired, like, at the esteem of Mike Tomlin, you know, was shocking. But they were able to pull the game out. Still got the leading division by 0.5 game over the Ravens. Mike Tomlin did a great job of changing things up this game, because usually they'll go out and play a man-to-man scheme against the Patriots through this game. And did a lot of matchup zone, a lot of robber, a lot of disguising cover three and actually running cover two. And they made Tom Brady think in that game. He had his poorest game of the season. And they only gave up 10 points in that game. They played very, very well. Got pressure on Tom Brady. Covered very, very well. He really didn't have nobody to throw the ball to all game. The Steelers played very, very well. Samuels on offense did a great job. Obviously, AB, what he brings to the table. So it was a great game. It was a very, very good game, and it determines a lot, like I said, about this this league, because you know the Chargers and Chiefs played each other on Thursday night. They had a very, very good game also. Came down to the wire, down 14 points. Phillip Rivers brought his team back. The defense got a stop. They came down the field, scored a touchdown, made it 28-27, and Phillip Rivers got the two-point conversion with 4 seconds left to win the game and advance them to 11-3. The Chiefs and the Chargers are 11-3, but the Chiefs got the tiebreaker because they have a better divisional record than the Chargers do. But two games left, pretty much if the Chiefs can win this game against Seattle, they'll pretty much sew up home field advantage. But if they lose and the Chargers can beat the Ravens, then we're looking at a winner-take-all scenario at the end of the regular season. If the Chiefs can win their last game against the Raiders, which shouldn't be a very difficult game, but you know the Raiders did test the Chiefs out in that last game of the season. I mean, a couple games ago in that season, and their offense does look a lot different, obviously, because they don't have Kareem Hunt. But you know they still have a capable enough offense where they can do very, very well and still be dangerous. Damian Williams is a very, very good back, and they still got their weapons. Kelce, I think a big loss for them that a lot of people are not talking about is Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins, not a guy that's getting a whole lot of numbers in that offense, but he does a lot of things for them as far as spacing, as far as getting a lot of attention, a decoy, in a lot of aspects. But he opened up a lot of things underneath for Kelce, for Conley, and he does a lot for that team. So not having him out there does hurt that team also with the loss of Kareem Hunt. But I think that team will still be dangerous because they got a quarterback who is special. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a very, very special quarterback, unlike any we've seen in a long time. I mean, if we would have known it would have been like this, like we would have, you know, hyped this guy up like, you know, Deshaun Watson. And no way you take Mitchell Trubisky or Deshaun Watson over this guy if you knew that it was going to be like this. Like, you know, you just didn't know. Like Chris Tucker said in Rush Hour 2 when he told Jackie Chan, like, why did you tell me this man rolls like this? Like, we didn't know that Patrick Mahomes rolled like this. Like, it's been phenomenal watching this guy. He's been a whole lot of fun this season. And I think he will be the MVP of the regular season. I don't know if that bodes well for Chiefs fans because, you know, the last MVPs that played in the Super Bowl, that won was Kurt Warner in 1999. So it's been a long, long time, you know, since the MVP won a Super Bowl. But maybe, you know, how special Mahomes is, he can change that. We do have questions and concerns about their defense, obviously, because their team is very, very good, especially on their front four. I mean, their front seven, rather. Their front seven can get to the quarterback. They can sack the quarterback, D Ford, Justin Houston, Ivey, who's been a mainstay. The emergence of Chris Jones, he had a sack in every game this season. But their linebacker core isn't all that good. Yeah, their linebackers, they're not very, very good as far as stopping the run. A lot of their linebackers, especially Hitchens and Ragland, get dragged back in the backfield a long, long way. And their secondary is questionable. They do get Eric Berry back, which helps their run defense. And he's also very, very good as far as getting everybody lined up. And he's a great, great guy as far as on the back end and covering those slot receivers, covering those tight ends. They did lose Fuller for a little while. Hopefully he'll be back. But other than that, I mean, Eric Berry should help out a lot. But they're playing a tough opponent coming up this Sunday against Seattle. So we'll see. But, I mean, I think they're going to be just fine in the playoffs. On the other end of the table, the Chargers took one from them. I predicted to start the season that the Chargers would come into Arrowhead and win that game. I also predicted that they would go 10-6, which I was dead wrong because they won a lot of games where I thought they'd lose. I thought they'd lose to the Steelers. I thought they'd lose their game over in London. And I thought they'd lose the Titans over there in London. I thought they'd lose six games this year, but they proved me dead wrong. 11-3 with an opportunity to get the number one seed. Phillip Rivers is a great quarterback. Keenan Allen, the emergence of Mike Williams, who's a cheat code out there, absolute monster. And Melvin Gordon, if he gets healthy, they're a very, very balanced offense. And their defense with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram and those guys on the back end, as far as Desmond King is concerned, I mean, they're a very, very good team. Very, very good team. I think they'll be making some noise in the playoffs. You know, no matter where they end up, number five or number one, they're going to make some noise. They don't have a home field advantage, so even if they get the number one seed, they're not going to scare anybody playing in the StubHub Center because, you know, they don't have a lot of fans there that watch that team, because the ultimate betrayal for those San Diego fans were moving that team to L.A. They don't like L.A. They would have moved it in the middle, like Orange County or something. They probably still have a lot of fans showing up to games, but because it's in L.A., so most of the fans, you know, there are from the opposing team. So it's not going to be a home field advantage. But I think they can go in and play in anywhere, whether it's their home field or whether on the road, because of the type of team that they have on the field. So I think they're going to have a bright side in the playoffs. If they end up being the 5 seed, I can see them going into Pittsburgh and winning a game. You know, if they end up the 5 seed and, you know, the Ravens win the division, I can see them going into Baltimore and winning that game, you know. And I can see them going into Houston, you know, for the second round and beating the Texans. I can see that happening. It's entirely possible. If they get a first-round bye, I mean, you can see them beating anybody at home. So it's going to be a draw. You know, it's going to be a great, you know, unfolding as to how everything will be. In the next segment, I will talk about those teams. I will talk about more extensively about the Chiefs. We'll talk more extensively about the Rams, more extensively about the Saints, and I'll even throw the Chargers in there since they're 11-3 also. I mean, which of these teams are the favorites going into the playoffs? Coming up on the next segment. So, the playoffs will be starting soon. Week 16, got week 17 next week, and then the playoffs will start. Right now, the teams that are positioned up 1-2 in the NFC are the New Orleans Saints and the LA Rams. The LA Rams had a crushing loss against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday night. 13-point favorites, lost that game. Saints squeezed one out last night versus the Panthers 12-9. Drew Brees hasn't been playing very, very well since Thanksgiving. That offense hasn't looked good, but their defense is great. Third in the league as far as rush defense is concerned. Second in the league as far as points allowed. So they're a very, very good team. You know, and if you have to go into New Orleans and get to the playoffs, I mean, it's going to be hard. I mean, that's a loud stadium. It's very, very intense. Very, very hard place to play at. They lost one game of this season. It was to a team that passed all over them with the Buccaneers. But they're a very, very good team. And that's going to be a hard place to win games at. You know, last time the Saints had home field advantage in the playoffs, you know, obviously 2009, they went to the Super Bowl and they beat the Colts. So we've seen it before. That's a tough environment, you know, to win a game in. I think that they are the favorites going into the playoffs as far as on the NFC side because of that environment, because of Drew Brees, because of that team, Kamara, Mark Ingram, Michael Thomas, who cannot be covered, a cheat code. But teams will do different things, like how the Panthers did last night, how Tampa Bay did a couple weeks ago, how the Cowboys did. They're gonna force Drew Brees to move off his spot. They're going to do a lot of internal pressure, a lot of A-gap blitz, a lot of bear-type looks to kind of get pressure in the middle and make Drew Brees move to a side versus just standing in the pocket and picking them apart. You know, they're going to double cover Michael Thomas, because who the hell else on the team is going to beat them, you know, as far as in the passing game, because Ben Watson, you know, he's a good tight end, but I mean, are you scared of him? Now, who else they got on the outside? I mean, they signed Brandon Marshall, and has he even played a down? Like, I haven't even really, you know, seen him. So who else is going to stop him? So teams are going to figure out, you know, the Saints as far as their offense is concerned. But, you know, just playing in that environment, that defense will keep them in a game. So I've got them as a favorite. The Rams, I don't know. Like, at this point, Buckus. Like, I have no idea what the Rams are capable of. Like, not at all. Because the last 2 weeks, they put up 6 points against the Bears, which is a really, really good defense. But they shouldn't look that bad. And then the Eagles, who practically have no defense, you know, and they look bad in that game also. So, and Jared Goff has thrown 7 interceptions in his last 3 games, 1 touchdown. So I have no idea. And they don't have a true home field advantage either. Well, you know, people do come to their games, but, you know, you don't know. So what can the Rams do? Because they haven't looked good since Cooper Kupp went down. That production in the slot. And Josh Reynolds is a very, very good receiver. He's an excellent blocker, but he's not getting that same production as Kupp did. And Goff doesn't have anybody he's comfortable with out there. Robert Woods haven't been really getting open, and a lot of teams have been playing deep to kind of keep Brandon Cooks from getting that deep shot, you know, in games. Like we've seen in that game against the Chiefs where they threw the ball all over the place, especially deep to Brandon Cooks. But teams are kind of figuring out, hey, let's hang back. Let's let them get their yards a chunk at a time. But when it gets ready to get in the end zone, let's clamp down and keep them from scoring. And the Rams haven't had an answer for that. So it's going to be hard to make them the favorite in that game. I actually got them losing in the playoffs in the second round. I got them losing that first home game to whoever it may be, whether the third seed will be the Bears and you know whoever gets that sixth seed. I got them losing that game. Like, I don't have them winning that game at all. And the AFC, you got the Chiefs, who's number one seed. But it's a possibility that you might have the Chargers at the number one seed also, and the Texans, who's, I think, are locked at that two seed right now. I don't have them losing two games. There's a possibility that they could lose to the Eagles this Sunday. I don't have them losing their last game of the season. So the Texans will be number two, and it's a coin toss of who will be number one. I believe that the Chiefs will take care of business this Sunday in Seattle. But it's going to be a tough game because Seattle is a very, very good team. Seattle has a textbook to beat the Chiefs. Just like the Ravens had an opportunity to beat the Chiefs, the Seattle plan on holding that ball forever. They're not going to give Patrick Mahomes a whole lot of chance. And that's how you beat teams with up-tempo offenses like that. You hold the ball forever. You limit their possessions. You get first downs. You run clock, and you keep that guy on the sideline. And then, you know, the link is still the link. You know, CenturyLink Field is still very, very loud. It's still the 12th man. You know, it's going to be a rough environment. Sunday night game, you know, with everything on the line. I mean, the Seattle and the Chiefs both have something to play for in that game. But I think the Chargers. I'm about to get ready to talk about them soon. I think the Chiefs will win this game. I think they'll lock up the number one seed in that game and everything. But it's going to be tough. But if they do not and the Chargers end up getting the number one seed, man, that's going to be great. I do got the Chiefs still being the favorite in the AFC, though, because it's just because of that quarterback. They got a better quarterback than everybody else does. Like, their quarterback is a whole lot better than, you know, Phillip Rivers. Their quarterback's a lot better than Deshaun Watson. And not to take anything away from those guys, but Mahomes just has that ooze on him. And it's going to be tough because he hasn't played in the playoffs before, so it's going to be tough. But they got a coach who's very, very good at scheming guys wide open. The only thing I'm worried about the Chiefs is Andy Reid. Really, I'm worried about Andy Reid and his clock management we've seen in the past with the Chiefs. Even with the Eagles going back in, you know, the Super Bowl. Now, he had an opportunity to, you know, to make that game a lot closer. And he basically bled off 8 minutes of a clock, you know, when they could have easily been in that game. So, and also their defensive coordinator, Bob Sutton, will he be able to make adjustments? Because the playoffs is all about adjustments. Adjusting to what teams do. Can he make enough adjustments to get that young defense in position, you know, to do well? Because they're what teams are going to do in this playoffs. Like, it's cold weather. You know, they know the Chiefs' run defense isn't that good. Teams are going to line up and run the football against the Chiefs. So, can they stop that run and get stops? And can they win? I think they're still the favorites, though. The Texans are very, very good. I think the Texans also got an opportunity to be very, very good. I believe the Texans can go in there and win that second-round playoff game. I'm not banking on it, but they can. And then, I mean, I would love to see. I've been talking about it all year. I would love to see a Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, AFC Championship game. That would be more entertaining than anything. You know, I'm an Eagles fan. I love the Philadelphia Eagles. Anybody who knows me and follows me knows I love the Philadelphia Eagles. But if the Eagles was to make it to the NFC Championship game, I'd probably be a little bit more excited to see that Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson game on Championship weekend just because of, you know, the passing of the torch, the next, you know, Brady Manning type of matchup. Those two young guys dressed in the same job class, I mean, it'll be an absolute treat. So I'm looking forward to all of that. I think it'll be pretty good. I think that if I had to make a prediction today, I'm going to predict that it's going to be the Chiefs out of AFC. And I'm not going to make a pick in the NFC because it's so many teams that can win that division. I mean, that can win that conference. So I'm not going to make a prediction just yet. But I am going to say the Chiefs are going to come out of AFC because I'm feeling really confident about that. So we'll see. We'll see how everything unfolds. We got two more weeks in the season. Playoffs start in January. So, I mean, it's football time is ready. And speaking of football time, speaking of everything being ready, you know, Mahomes and Watson were great, great college players. Watson thrived in the college football playoff with Clemson. You know, going to the national championship game, losing to Alabama, and then going back the next year and beating Alabama in Tampa Bay. So, as we look forward to those college football playoffs, I got my predictions for that. Who's going to make the national championship? Who's going to win the national championship? And what I think about this 8 playoff team business coming up in the next segment. So, the college football playoff, December 29th. First game, 3 Eastern. It's going to be the Clemson Tigers versus Notre Dame Fighting Irish in Jerry World Cotton Bowl. Following that game in Miami, Hard Rock Stadium, you got in the Orange Bowl, Alabama, Oklahoma going against each other, and that's going to be a great game. Oklahoma, Alabama, oh my goodness. I'm excited because it's going to be pro players all over the field. You know, you got Tua Tagovailoa. He has an ankle injury that he got hurt in the SEC Championship game against Georgia. But they do have a capable quarterback, a guy who went 26-2 as a starter, a guy who came in and rescued Alabama to getting them to the SEC Championship, Jalen Hurts. So they got a quarterback. They got, you know, playmakers all over the field. Chris Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy at wide receiver, Damian Harris at running back. I mean, they got a great defense. It's not as great as Alabama defenses in the past, but they're still pretty good. And then you got the reigning, defending Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray, bringing in Oklahoma in that high-power offense to Alabama. So it's going to be a great matchup. I think a lot of points are going to be scored in that game. A lot of points are going to be scored because just the simple fact that Alabama's defense isn't as great as it used to be, and it's not equipped to play against spread defenses. And you've seen in the past, Nick Saban has had problems with quarterbacks who can pass and also run. See Deshaun Watson, see Bo Wallace, see Chad Kelly, and games like that. Trevor Knight with Oklahoma in the past. So it's going to be a great matchup. But I just think they got a quarterback who is absolutely, you know, special. If Tua Tagovailoa is healthy, there's no way on God's green earth that Oklahoma has anything to stop him in that offense. No way. They played tougher defenses this year. No way Oklahoma stops that guy if he's healthy. No way. So I think Alabama will outlast Oklahoma in that game. I got the game being high scoring. I got about 45-35. I got Alabama winning the game and advancing to the national championship January 7th. In the other game, Notre Dame, Clemson. Clemson with the outstanding freshman quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. Got playmakers all over the field. Etienne at running back is a game breaker and break the game wide open. Then you got Notre Dame with their offense with Ian Book, who came in and basically transformed that offense. The running backs, they got running backs all over the field, got playmakers all over the outside, and their defense is solid. And that game, I think I'm going to pick the upset. I got Notre Dame winning that game 30-27. I think they're going to outlast Clemson. I mean, I think at some point the bright lights have got to be too bright for Trevor Lawrence. I think it's going to be – this is his fiercest competition he's played all year. Came in the Texas A&M game, but other than that, he hasn't been in any hostile environments or really played any, you know, very, very difficult teams, you know, since he's been in the starting lineup. So I believe that you know, they're going to come in. I think that it's going to be a tough game. I think the bright lights are finally going to get to him. And I got Notre Dame winning that game, 30-27. I got Notre Dame, Alabama playing each other for the first time since 2012. And about this college football playoff, a lot of things been going on about should they expand it to 8 teams, because UCF went undefeated last year, went undefeated year before. They got a lot of argument into them being into the playoff, but I don't believe that it should expand more than 4 games, and here's why. The college football playoff is very, very unique. I think that if it was easy for everybody to get in, then they would make it so everybody can get in. It's not. It's hard. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be only a special and elite group of teams that should get in there. Also, UCF, you got to play somebody, man. You got to play somebody. Like, you can't keep going out here playing Cincinnati. Can't keep going out here playing Memphis. Can't keep going out here playing these teams and expect to get any respect. You beat Auburn last year. I get it. That was a great win for you guys. But you got to do it on a consistent basis because the system is stacked against you. You got to take these games that you plan on taking against Stanford. Got to take these games you plan on taking against Pitt. And then you turn down Florida for some petty stuff. Like, you can't do that. You can't do it. You got to take games like this, any opportunity you can, to get into this college football playoff. But 8 games is just too much. These kids got finals. They got, you know, all kind of – and they already playing 13, 14-game schedules as it is. You want to add 2 or 3 more games to their schedule, make them play 15 to 16. And these kids are not getting paid any money. You know, they're not getting paid anything. So you're going to basically ask these guys to go out there and play a couple more games. I mean, it's just absurd. So I it's a no for me as far as the 14 playoffs are concerned. But I got, you know, in the Final Four, Alabama beating Oklahoma. I got Notre Dame upsetting Clemson. And that championship game, I got Alabama just edging out Notre Dame in that game. I got them winning that game 35-28. And I think Alabama will be champions once again. So, but thank you, everybody, who listened to this podcast. I'm finna wrap it up. Appreciate everybody who listens to me. Appreciate everybody who follows me. You can definitely follow me at Audience of One on Twitter. Listen to everything that I got going on. Subscribe to the podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or anywhere where major podcasts are downloaded. Keep on the lookout for me. I might have another podcast dropping this week. If not, it's going to be sometime next week, but I'm going to keep doing this on a consistent basis. Got a lot more time on my hands, so I can definitely do it. Appreciate everybody who supports me, and we're going to see you next time on the Fan Podcast.